The text spoken by the voices and the sound volume are exactly the same as in the original recording.
Welcome to Mind Labs, an open creative slot which deals with stories, issues, philosophy, concepts, ideas, spoken word, drama, comedy, documentaries, avant-garde music, and anything else where thinking is required. Anything where imagination is strict prerequisite. If you would like to submit your own work for this slot, then you can find out more information at www.sheffieldlive.org. This is Mind Labs, and what is about to follow will now follow.
It started off so well. Said we made a perfect pair. I clothed myself in your glory and your love. How I loved you, how I cried. Years of care and loyalty were nothing but a sham. Where to start? Well, I suppose the beginning was when I decided that I needed a new pencil case. I suppose that was what instigated the whole set of experiences, if you like to put it that way. But I went downtown and wandered into Stationery Plus, as you would, looking at pencil cases. Didn't know which sort of design to get, you know, whether to go for the traditional rectangular one or go for something a bit quirky. And that was it. That was when I first caught sight of Phil. And didn't really know what it was at first. I just saw a small pink thing in amongst the pencil cases. I thought, that looks a bit unusual. And I moved the others out of the way, had a quick look, and there he was, Phil, the Klanger pencil case. And, things have never been the same since. It was really strange. I mean, as soon as our eyes met, as soon as my eyes met his beads, there was something magic happened. I don't know how to describe it, really, but it was as if we'd finally met each other's soulmates. It was just difficult to put into words, really. I mean, we couldn't put it into words because I didn't speak language, his language at that time. And he certainly didn't speak Earthling, although he'd heard a few people chatting while he'd been in the shop since he'd been taken out of his box. But it was a little bit just as if our minds knew. It was as if we knew what we were thinking, you know. It was incredible, really. And, of course, as soon as I saw him, I realised he'd got to be my new pencil case, and that was all there was to it. So took him to the till. I think the woman on the till looked at me in a slightly strange way, the way I was sort of handling Phil. But she obviously didn't realise what was going on. She just thought I was just some middle-aged chap buying a pencil case for his daughter or something. Anyway, to cut a long story short, that was it. That was when we first met, and it all led on from there.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, and nothing is going right, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Spring, summer, or fall. Now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend.
Those early days, they were incredible. Obviously, we soon learned to communicate effectively. I realised that Phil had got a small thing inside his head, and if you pressed it between your thumb and your forefinger very hard, it would make a noise. Very good, I really enjoyed doing that. So he was actually speaking to me. I couldn't really tell what he was saying, of course. Not for a while, anyway. It was quite funny, really, because eventually, when I finally worked out what he was saying, he was actually saying, "Stop pressing my head, or I'll twat you." That was, and I didn't realise what he was saying. It was hilarious, really. And anyway, obviously, I stopped pressing his head then, because he obviously found it uncomfortable. But it was amazing how, once we started communicating, we realised that we got so much in common. Phil's never read a novel in his entire life, but that said, most of his life's been spent on some clanger planet somewhere, and he'd only been on Earth for about 6 months or so, and I can kind of understand it. It's not very practical for a clanger pencil case to read anyway, especially when you've only got beads for eyes. But ironically, I don't read novels either. I used to read lots of other stuff, but nope, never novels. So we got that in common. I think the main thing, though, that we noticed that we got in common was we had the same sense of humour. And also we had this was really uncanny, actually. We both had a real interest in soup. I mean, I've always been interested in soup from an early age. I was brought up on Heinz tomato soup, and still have Heinz tomato soup at least 3 or 4 times a day. It's part of me. I mean, that's what makes me who I am. It defines me, if you like. And, of course, I found out that Phil had a lifelong interest in soup. I mean, let's face it, on the Klanger planet, that's all he ate. So, of course, we used to talk about soup all the time. It was really funny. We were also arguing about the benefits of vegetable over tomato. We used to have some fun. And we'd go for miles to seek out cafes that did good soup. I remember one trip, I mean, it was a fantastic day out. Went all the way to Dewsbury Market, and we'd heard that there was a particular cafe there that did a really good vegetable soup. And so we went over there, got the train and the bus. It was a heck of a journey, mind you, I must admit. But we got there, we had the soup. It was pretty much as we'd expected. It was superb. I complimented the chef, well, the woman who had heated it up anyway. And we came away, bus back to Wakefield, and then train from Wakefield back to Chapeltown. A great day out. I think that's one of my... long memories. I think I'll still remember that day out until the day I die. It was particularly enjoyable, and we had such a good time chatting on the way there about soup and other things that are soup-like. Very good, and everything was going fine. I'd by this time bought a Swanee whistle, so we could communicate fully. I felt a bit awkward expecting him to learn English, especially seeing as how his only method of communicating was when I pressed his head, which he didn't like. So you know, in the end, I tended to do most of the communicating via the Swanee whistle, and that seemed to work out fine.
I hear him before I go to sleep and focus on the day that's been. I realize he's there when I turn the light off and turn.
I think things started going a little bit wrong, well, between me and Phil. I mean, obviously, my girlfriend thought I was a nutter, so that, you know, I had a few problems there at first, but she soon got used to it. But then I think with Phil, I think things started going wrong. I think what happened was it got in with one or two friends. There were other Clanger pencil cases about, apparently, and they'd made contact one way or another. I don't know how it happens, but obviously found they were more exciting than I was. Their choice of soups were much more interesting and international. I mean, for me, there are only two soups, and that's vegetable and tomato. End of. It's not up for discussion, really. But of course, you go in some of these fancy cafes and restaurants, and they're bringing out all sorts of things, you know, sweet potato and orange, and pear and wang fruit or whatever. The choice of soups is, well, it's gone ridiculous now, because I can honestly say I've been in some cafes where they haven't had vegetable soup on, but they've had two or three obscure, strange soups, as I would like to call them. You know, pandering to the whims of a market that's ever-changing and forgetting about the traditional custom, you know. Madness, you know, business madness, really. But anyway, Phil obviously started going to these cafes, unbeknown to me, with his Clanger pencil case friends, and they would experiment. I think that's where it started, you know. Seemed like an exciting thing to do, I suppose, try different things. And he started hitting all the hard stuff. And some of these soups really, it was the soups that did for him in the end. I think that was the turning point, I think. And from then on, he went downhill.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
I remember the obviously it got much worse. He wouldn't listen to sense. People talked to him about it, but it just went from bad to worse. I remember the day that he obviously had a bad do, and he'd sadly been told that pretty much he was on his way out, and he'd got about 3 hours to live before his battery ran down. And I'd noticed his voice had been going. Every now and then I'd press his head, even though I didn't like it, just to make sure his battery was okay. But I noticed it was starting to fail, particularly in cold weather. It was all right when you warmed him up again inside, it'd work again. But if you took him out on a cold day, his voice was failing. I knew there was something something seriously wrong there. So anyway, when it came to the final day, we knew what was happening, and he was just laid there. He was just a bag of cloth in the end. I mean, that was partially to do with the fact that I'd taken my 3 socks out from inside him that I'd shoved in initially to give him a bit of bulk. So I'd taken my socks back because I'd started running out of socks, basically, and that made him obviously a lot thinner. And various bits of stuffing falling out by this point, because he'd been on holiday with me to America, across Europe. We'd been all over the place. And it had taken his toll. He was very moth-eaten, thin. He got nothing about him. His eyes, well, his beads weren't the shiny beads that I remember seeing on that shelf in Stationery Plus. It was a different Klanger pencil case that I was seeing in front of me. Still very sad, though. And he was sleeping. He was dozing, and then he just suddenly turned to me and looked straight at me. I knew what was happening. And well, basically, this is yeah. He'd asked me to record his last words for posterity, so I got the recorder going already. And he just turned, and this is what he said.
Companion and solitude, my guide. wipe away the tears. Just close your eyes, dear.
Listen, bear listening to this, but basically he just said bye bye loser, and said something about that I should get a life and perhaps try parsnip soup or something like that. He came out with some rubbish about soup. I think he wasn't really thinking straight, and anyway, that was it. That was the last thing he said, and he's never spoken since. I kept him for a few months after that. Initially, I didn't tell my partner and my girlfriend that he'd passed over. I had to wait for the right moment. She knew there was something seriously wrong, because I was definitely off my soup for a few days. In fact, one day I even left half a bowl and a bit of bread. I mean, that's not me. And so she realised there was something up. And eventually I broke down and explained to her what had happened. So we buried him, made a little grave for him in the back garden, buried him. Said, I didn't say a prayer for him as such, because I'm not a religious person, but I said a few words about stuff. I can't even remember what I said. It seems as though it didn't happen, as though it was unreal, really. And that was the end of it. I pretty much went off soup to a certain extent after the after his batteries ran down, and he in effect died. For quite a long time, I just did not want to touch another bowl of soup. End of. But of course, I was dying of starvation after a few weeks, so I had to start eating the soup again, unfortunately. And here I'm still doing it. But I'm still sticking to the tomato and the vegetable. I'm not going to ever go down the same road Phil did. It's just not worth it. For a few moments of excitement or a few hours of high, I'll just stick to what I know. I think for a last piece of music before we end this little piece, I suppose I should play the Klanger Concerto, a piece of music that means a lot to me. It takes me back. It's a piece of music that Phil and his Klanger mates wrote when they were on their planet. It did feature on the Klanger TV series, of which I have the full DVD set. And this is it. Thanks for listening to my story. This is the Klanger Concerto, and this basically says it all about our relationship.
Life's open creative slot. Join us next time for something more which isn't the same.